Believe in LA Football Podcast.
Touchdown Rams!
Touchdown UCLA!
Recovered by the Chargers.
The Trojans back in front.
With your hosts, the coach and the Don. Part of the Believe Podcast Network. LA's number one sports podcast network.
What's up, delegates, and welcome back to the Believe in LA Football Podcast with your host, the Coach and the Don. We are on the Believe Podcast Network, Los Angeles's number one sports podcast network, and also we're brought to you by SportsAlDente.com, your recipe for LA sports. Make sure to head to SportsAlDente.com, use the promo code the Coach and the Don. You're going to get 10% off any one of our membership packages. We offer monthly, yearly, and lifetime packages. Those monthly packages start at $2.99. That's mere pennies. Less than a soda at some gas stations gives you a month of all-access content to all the LA sports we cover. And we're doing some fun series right now, even though it's the offseason. We still give great coverage to the Rams and the Chargers. And be sure to check out all the great shows on the Believe Podcast Network. Doing some fun stuff there. So, welcome to the show. Going to do a short one today. The coach could not be here, so I'm flying solo. But we're prepping for a big Thursday show where we're having a fun guest on that should be a blast to talk to. So we'll kind of tease that, but won't give anything away. So make sure to tune in Thursday for our guest interview and then some other fun segments. But for today's show, you know, I wrote an article just not even 24 hours ago, kind of breaking down. I'm starting a new series on SportsAlDente.com talking about the Rams. We're going to break down each position group of the Rams and compare it within the NFC West and kind of how they rank. So I started with the quarterback position and kind of looking at the quarterbacks that are starting. Obviously, Jared Goff for the Rams, Russell Wilson for the Seahawks, Kyler Murray, rookie first overall pick, starter for the Cardinals, and then we have Jimmy Garoppolo, who is obviously the incumbent and will be starter for San Francisco. We don't really know for sure if he's going to start week one coming off of that torn ACL, but he will at some point be the man under center up there in the Bay Area. So, but you know, I wanted to look through these position groups. I think this will be a fun series to do weekly. We'll do running backs. We'll do offensive line, defensive line, secondary, wide receivers, and just kind of just see, you know, it's the offseason. We're looking for stuff to do, looking for content, but it's also not only fun, but I think it's good to kind of compare to how the Rams, you know, we do these predictions and we can all talk how we think they're going to do in the season, but if you really break down each position group and we can assess how they stack up against their division, their competition, and then it gives us a better idea of how that season outlook will come. Obviously, they still got to play the games. They still put the pads on, get on the gridiron, and knock some heads. But if we can, you know, break down really, okay, the Rams have the upper edge at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, defensive line, blah, 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 blah. Break it all down. It's like, okay, out of the six main position groups, they have the edge of all other three NFC West opponents in five of them. Then we're looking pretty good. So obviously this is all LA football, but this article was contingent on the NFC West and the Rams, so we can get into some Chargers stuff maybe later down the line and compare those groups. And then, you know, it would be fun to do some Pac-12 stuff and look at the UCLA Bruins and USC and do some comparisons there. I think that'd be a lot of fun as well. But for this episode, it will be Rams heavy or NFC West heavy, if you will. I didn't want to venture into the AFC West with the Chargers and get a sidetrack talking about Broncos positions because this is an LA football podcast. So, so my rankings start, anyone that's knows me, and to me, it's a no-brainer. I don't think anyone that doesn't think this quarterback is not an elite quarterback in the upper echelon, in the top three, top four, top five echelon, to me, everyone can have their opinion. I would never call someone just complete like an idiot or anything like that. I think you can break film and look at positions a little differently. But I think overall you would not really know what you're talking about if you really don't think Russell Wilson is not an elite quarterback. And a lot of people like to throw elite around, but there's to me three to maybe five guys you can put in that elite category. And then you have really, really good Then you have good, then you have, like, you know, your average, and then you have your below average, and you have a couple that are guys that probably shouldn't be starting, but just because of how rosters are constructed, are in that starting role. But Russell Wilson, to me, is a league quarterback. Since coming into the league in 2012, he's never had a losing season. Now, obviously, John Schneider over there and Pete Carroll have put together and constructed really good rosters that have built really good supporting cast around him. Obviously, it's a team game. It's probably the biggest team sport that we have, and so you need, you know, 11 men on each side of the ball to contribute. But it all starts with the quarterback, and I think it's the most important position in sports all around. And Russell Wilson does such a great job, not only with his leadership. I mean, he has it all. He's got the arm talent, got the accuracy. He can put touch on the ball. He's got mobility, athleticism, leadership, poise. List goes on and on. He pretty much has every trait that you want in your starting quarterback and in your captain of your team. And I think he brings that to the table. What he lacks in stature and size, he certainly makes up for in those other intangibles. I think what makes him so dangerous, and when you hear defenses talk about it, I remember hearing last year the Seahawks obviously played the Rams twice. They played the Broncos once. And I remember Von Miller, who is always an MVP candidate or a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, talking about him and continually saying, like, he's elite and this is what makes him so good because he's so elusive in the pocket. He's able to escape defensive pressure and then not only escape and just run for 10, 15 yards, but he can escape and still throw the ball 30 yards down the field and make a big play with his arm. So, you know, a lot of the quarterbacks, when you get that moniker as a running quarterback or a athletic quarterback, the immediate thought is, okay, once pressure comes, it's just the tuck and run, and, you know, run up the field. But Russell Wilson has so much more to that. He can escape pressure, but then still extend the play with his legs without just running downfield. He can extend the play with his legs and still keep his eyes downfield and leave passing lanes open, or if anything, extend passing lanes. So has a ton of talent. I think his teammates like him from everything I've heard. He just signed to a big deal, so he'll be in Seattle for a long time. There was speculation if, you know, he was on a contract year, if a deal would get done before the season, or if there was going to be that tough negotiation or franchise tag coming next year, but a deal got done. He just does so much for the team. He's able to open up because of what he can do with his arm and his legs. He opens up the running game, which I think anyone knows that for the duration of his career, Seattle has been a run-heavy, run-first team, and everyone knows beast mode. Everyone knows Marshawn Lynch and what he's been able to do. And I don't want to take anything away from him because of how talented of a runner and a ferocious and just a mean power runner that Marshawn Lynch is. So I don't want to take anything away from him. But having a quarterback like Russell Wilson definitely helped his ability to garner the stats that he did, if you will. Having a quarterback that is able to kind of open up the passing game and keep defenses guessing, and, you know, everyone, myself and defenses, know that Seattle wants to run. They're a smash mouth team, but if you cheat up too much, put 9-10 in the box, you're going to get beat every time, 10 times out of 10, because Russell Wilson has that ability, that elite ability. So to me, he's still the cream of the crop. He's still number one in the NFC West. He's top three to me in the entire NFL. So I'm probably higher on him than others are, but I just think he brings a lot. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl, been to two, and I think last year, I mean, Seattle was, I myself, I've mentioned this many times, I had Seattle as a team that was going to be fighting for that number one pick in the draft, and they ended up making the playoffs. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, Pete Carroll. A lot of that has to do with them just having a good system and able guys buy into the scheme, and a lot of that is Russell Wilson. So enough about that. Russell Wilson's my number one player, number one quarterback, excuse me, in the NFC West. Number two, Rams fans, is Jared Goff. And Jared Goff, he's not far off from Russell Wilson. They play different styles. But Goff's only been in the league 3 years. So this is not a knock on him by any means. His numbers are really incredible. You throw out that rookie year with Jeff Fisher, which is a throwaway season, I think, because drafted first overall, so he has the pressure of being a first overall pick, which is enough pressure for anyone to handle. then you throw in a team with just not a lot of talent. They had talent, but not – I mean, they're top receivers. You had Brian Quick there. You know, not a lot of – obviously Todd Gurley was there, but not a lot of big-name guys. And then Jeff Fisher as a head coach, who was obviously not the offensive coordinator, but they had Rob Boris as the offensive coordinator, who is a bland, I think is a kind word when describing his offensive scheme. So yeah, he just was put into a really, really bad situation. Came in mid-season after the Rams, you know, started Case Keenum, and they started off 3-1 that year. And everyone was like, all right, this team can, you know, everyone remembers Hard Knocks. I don't want any more of that 7-9 bullshit, 8-8, blah, 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 blah. And so they started 3-1, and there was some hope, some promise in the air. And first year in L.A., and then the wheels kind of started coming off, and they lost, I believe, 3, 4, 5 in a row or something like that. Ended up at 3-5, 3-6, and it's like, all right, let's throw the rookie in. And Goff ended up not winning a single game his rookie year. But it's just that situation that, let's throw it out. Coaching staff's different. The entire team's different. We've seen what he's done the last 2 years. In his last two seasons, in 2017, threw for over 3,800 yards and 28 touchdowns. And then last season, throwing for over 4,600 yards and 32 touchdowns, which were good enough for fourth in yards and sixth in touchdowns in the entire NFL. So the kid's great. Everyone loves to throw around system quarterback because they see what he did his rookie year and they see what he's done since Sean McVay came. Let me say this. Almost every quarterback you can label as a system quarterback in the sense that depending on their style of play, they're going to fit better in certain systems. I don't think that is that crazy of a thought or should be that crazy of a inclination or a way to describe how a quarterback plays. Obviously, a quarterback that, like Lamar Jackson, is going to play better in a run-first, run-heavy offense that maybe throws in some different packages, some wildcats, some options, stuff like that. That's his style of play. That's the system that he performs better in. Sean McVay comes in and implements a system that fits Jared Goff's skill set, and obviously he's going to thrive in that. Tom Brady plays best in a certain system. There's been times that people like to throw that word around. Tom Brady's a system quarterback and blah, blah, blah. You know, he's played in the same quote-unquote system for his entire career pretty much. So, albeit, he is the greatest system quarterback of all time because that system is what he's played in. He's never had to play in anything else. He hasn't had to have multiple offensive coordinators and go through like Phillip Rivers just across the 5 freeway here in L.A., who's had to play in with 4 to 5 different coordinators and change systems and stuff like that. So people can call Jared Goff a system quarterback all they want, but this system that he's playing in, he is thriving in, and he's exceeding. He's playing as a top 10 quarterback, top 15 quarterback in the NFL. So if you want to throw that moniker around system quarterback, feel free, but every quarterback to an extent is a system quarterback because every coach or good coach is going to build their system and their scheme around what their players' talents and skill sets allow for. That's just good coaching. So, that being said, rant over. Goff is up and coming. He's going into his fourth season. A lot of expectations. Obviously, a disappointing Super Bowl. Everyone likes to have short-term or everyone likes to remember the last thing that happened, and that's kind of how they judge someone, whether it be in the workplace or whatever, but especially in sports. So everyone forgets that Goff was fourth in the NFL in yards, sixth in touchdowns, won the division for the second year in a row, won 2 playoff games, beat New Orleans in New Orleans with a game-winning or game-tying drive before overtime and then a game-winning drive in overtime, albeit the penalty. We could, you know, say what you want about that, but that wasn't with Goff. That was on the defense, so Goff still had to drive the field down to tie the game, had to win the game. Did that in a hostile environment in New Orleans. And then, yeah, he did not play well in the Super Bowl, but many quarterbacks have done that. John Elway, Hall of Fame quarterback, in my opinion, top 5 all time. Had some bad Super Bowls. bad Super Bowls. I don't think you can say he was a bad quarterback, or now that his career is over, people remember him only by those three bad Super Bowl losses. Peyton Manning has had struggles in the playoffs. Anyone that doesn't think Peyton Manning is one of the greatest all time, never watched Peyton Manning. They're looking, I don't even know what they're looking at. You can't even look at numbers because he's top two all time in numbers. So yes, you cannot remember Goff right now. We're still young going into season four, but people that want to just remember him for that Super Bowl, which was not a great game. However, there were a couple drops there, you know, a couple drops that could have changed the outcome, and it was only a 7-point loss. Yeah, they put up 3 points total, so a bit of a poor effort on offense, but can't all be on Goff. So I think this is a long-winded way of saying that he is leaps and bounds above the 3 and 4 in the NFC West. He, to me, is an easy number two in the division, and he is gradually climbing towards Russell Wilson, and I think the gap is not that great. I still think Russell Wilson is elite. I'm not saying Goff is elite yet, has more to prove, but Goff is definitely improving, very accurate. He can be athletic. He's not a running quarterback by any means, but he's an athletic quarterback. He can escape pressure when needed. He can roll out and make throws on the run. We saw that numerous times, and we saw him scamper a couple times for a couple touchdowns, one against the Chiefs. May have been a false start, but hey, he still scampered for the touchdown after that. So, all right, well, let's move on to number three in the division. And to me, it has to be Jimmy Garoppolo at this point. I know a lot of people want to herald him as like the next great San Francisco 49ers quarterback, which he may be. We've seen at times him flash greatness. We've seen some good things. He had obviously a good mentor and coaching regime during his early years in New England. We saw him have some good preseason games, and obviously when Brady was suspended those four, he started off those two and kind of like lit the world on fire in two games. Like I can't remember, I'm trying to think of a time when a quarterback has played two and a half, I guess, because I believe he got hurt in that third game. So 2.5 games, and all of a sudden was like everyone was just anointing him the next great thing, the next great quarterback, the next Tom Brady. And he looked very good in those games. I don't want to take anything away from that, but it was surprising to me that after two games, with how the history of this league, and we've seen some good quarterbacks have some great years, then fall off the map. We've seen some quarterbacks be subpar or float around and then make a comeback. I mean, Kurt Warner's one of those. Ram fans, we know, kind of just came out of nowhere and then all of a sudden became the MVP of the NFL and Hall of Famer and arguably the greatest Rams quarterback of all time. So, I mean, it surprised me with the history of how the NFL is that after two games, this guy was anointed. But anyway, that happened. He was. Brady came out, wasn't ready to retire. There was the whole drama in New England. If there was drama, maybe it was just the media making drama, but basically that Brady wanted to keep playing. Belichick wanted Garoppolo. Ownership wanted Brady, blah, 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 blah. So they ended up trading Garoppolo to the Niners for a second-round pick. And then the Niners, after having Garoppolo for a couple games, ended up signing him to a long-term deal, very lucrative at the time. I believe it was the highest-paid deal. That's since been beaten like five times over since, you know, we have had Kirk Cousins get signed. We've had Aaron Rodgers re-sign, now Russell Wilson, and multiple others. Matt Ryan. But at the time, I believe he was the highest-paid, if I'm not mistaken. And this is, remember, after two games playing. So then he goes to San Francisco, ends up taking over after being there a couple weeks, learning the system, and wins, I believe, goes 5-0. Great. 5-0. Losing team. Took over for a 1-8 team or something like that. They ended up the season like 6-10 or something with his five straight wins right around there. Ended up still with like the second or third overall pick. So showed some promise. A lot of excitement there. I was starting to be like, okay, you know, there's definitely something here. This is what I was talking about with the spark. You know, you see that, those touch passes. You see him able to escape pressure when needed. You can see him command the offense, which is, that's one of those intangibles that gets overlooked or gets forgotten about. How can a guy command the offense? Do guys look to him when it comes down to it and not only expect him to be able to lead them, but know that he will lead them to victory? And that you could see that. It was a losing season for the Niners, so they had really nothing to play for more than just pride. So there's something to be said for that because there's really no pressure, kind of like, you know, just all out. But you're still winning. They're beating good teams. I remember there was a game, I don't know if it was week 16 or 17, but they beat Jacksonville, who that year ended up the Jacksonville team that went to the AFC Championship game and lost to the Patriots, and they ended up beating that team. So, saw some good games from him. So comes into last season with a lot of hype. A lot of hype. Niners, I feel like for the last few years, have a lot of hype. Every year it's like, oh yeah, this is a lot of talent. Everyone loves Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. They like the pairing. Think they're going to do a lot of things. And they kind of, you know, they get the injury bug, which some of it's bad luck. Some of it's, you know, training regimens, off-season regimens. I mean, there's a reason why some teams have a lot more injuries than others. Some of it is luck, absolutely. But some of it is definitely have to do with the off-season training. But then we get to the 2018 season. And like I said, a lot of hype going into it. A lot of excitement, especially circling around Jimmy Garoppolo. And what happens? Three games in. So first game, play the Minnesota Vikings. And pretty much kind of falls flat in his face a little bit. I mean, it's a big game. It's in Minnesota. Minnesota has a lot of hype as well. They just signed Kirk Cousins. But he ends up throwing three interceptions, throws for like 45% completion percentage. The team loses 24-16. So not off to the start they wanted to. They end up rebounding in the next week against the Detroit Lions, winning by three. And then in the third week, they play Kansas City, go down 35-10 at halftime. Garoppolo really didn't look great. In the second half, KC kind of took the gas off. They were able to kind of make a game of it. And then we all know, unfortunately, Garoppolo was lost to a torn ACL and missed the rest of the season. So all this being said, Garoppolo, I think, has a lot of potential and has definitely shown flashes that he can be the guy. But 10 starts in the NFL, to me, is not enough to warrant the kind of hype that surrounds him. I think he's, with a lot of people I've seen do these quarterback rankings in the offseason of the whole NFL, and there's guys that have him in the top 10, top 15. I haven't seen any top 5, thank God, but definitely top 10. It has me scratch my head a little bit, like, okay, if we're watching a couple plays here and there, maybe, but 10 games? 10 games, you're going to have in the top 10? That seems a little off to me. So it's going to be fun. I think there's a lot of good QBs in the NFC West. Garoppolo is still young, older than you would think, because obviously he sat behind Brady for those few years, and now he's been in San Francisco going into his, he's going into his third year in San Francisco. Obviously only had half of it his first year. So Goff is going into his fourth year. So you would think they're similar, but yeah, Garoppolo obviously has a few years on him. But yeah, to me, Garoppolo at this point is a large distance behind Jared Goff. He can certainly, if he stays healthy and comes back the same player that we've seen him in some games, I think he can close that gap potentially. But to me, the gap between Wilson and Goff is closer than the gap between Goff and Garoppolo. That's me. Let's debate it. If you disagree, hit me up. My Twitter is at Ryan Dyrud Sad. Ryan Dyrud SAD. Stands for Sports El Dente. That's why it's there. But yeah, love to hear your thoughts on that, because I'm sure there's a lot of Niner fans that disagree. But hey, that's just how I see it. So then rounding out the four quarterbacks or four teams in the NFC West would be Kyler Murray. Simply, he's a rookie. Has yet to play down in the NFL. Anyone that has him ranked higher than four doesn't know how to do rankings. You cannot have a guy that has never played it down in the NFL ranked higher than the bottom. They got to work for it, work from the bottom, work their way to the top. A lot of hype coming in, though. I will say this, though. Usually, when a quarterback is taking first overall, and it is already known, right, it has already been predetermined that he will be the starter week one, I mean, things obviously can change in camp if he just looks absolutely awful and they need to make a change. But as of now, he is the starter. When that happens, usually, when the first overall pick is crowned the starter, it's usually not a good situation. It's usually a team that has a lot of holes to fill, hence why they were drafting first, unless there was like a trade-up. But usually they're thrown in and are basically thrown to the wolves, expected to. Look at Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, who one of the greatest ever to lace him up, and he at the time set the record for most interceptions as a quarterback. I think he threw like 28 his rookie year. And the team won like 3 or 4 games. And he's one of the greatest ever. And after that season, people were probably like, this is who we drafted first, because that team just had so many holes, and he was just thrown into a bad situation. To me, Kyler Murray is actually being put in a pretty good situation. The Cardinals, let me explain myself. I'll first say the bad, which is not going to make a lot of sense. Cardinals last year, offense was dead last. Last in yards, last in points. I believe they averaged about 14.1 points per game and like 220 yards of total offense. Not passing yards, total offense, passing and rushing. So they were dead last in both categories and overall. So they can only go up. So that's one thing that's somewhat of a positive. You can't get any worse than dead last, and it's going to be really hard for him to produce less than 225 yards of offense. So that's one. Two, they hired Cliff Kingsbury in the offseason. Say what you want about the hire, if you agree, disagree, think he's ready to be a head coach. But what he brings to the table is this college air raid, you know, all out offensive scheme that fits perfectly with Kyler Murray's skill set. Like what I was saying with Jared Goff, people want to throw around the system quarterback label, but every quarterback to an extent is a system quarterback. They play better based on their skill set if they're given the right tools and the right scheme to play with. So Kyler Murray is fit exactly for what Cliff Kingsbury ran at Texas Tech and what he says he will run for the Arizona Cardinals. So he's going into a system where a lot of rookie quarterbacks get drafted and they're expected to learn the NFL. Yeah, he'll still have to learn a playbook. I'm not saying that, but they're expected to learn this new NFL offense. A lot of guys in college don't play under center, so they're expected to learn how to, like, take snaps under center, be able to call, you know, reads, defensive reads from under center and stuff like that. Kyler Murray is not really expected to do that. He's literally coming from his Oklahoma offense to the NFL and playing a very similar offense. Will it work in the NFL? We'll see. We've seen glimpses of it. We've seen little wrinkles of it. We saw what Mahomes did, but they didn't run a full air raid offense. Andy Reid threw in wrinkles and built that offense tailor-made around what Patrick Mahomes could do, but also still ran an NFL-style offense. Put a lot of like trick plays and a lot of he threw a lot of fun stuff in there. I mean, that offense was just fun to watch. I don't care if you're a Chiefs fan or not. That was a fun offense to watch. So that's what I'm kind of excited about, to see what they do with Kyler Murray. He's coming into a situation where dead last offense, so can't get any worse. The coach hired literally is going to run the offense that he ran in college. It's a perfect fit, perfect blend, an easy transition, if you will, which being a college quarterback transitioning to the NFL is probably the hardest transition in all of sports, going from amateur to pro, going from college quarterback to pro quarterback, probably the hardest transition in all of sports. And his, compared to the other rookies that have done it, will be one of the easiest just because of the playbook and scheme they'll be running. And two, this draft, they went all in on that scheme, that system, drafting all talent on offense. They got three great receivers. Mr. Irrelevant, Caleb Wilson, tight end out of UCLA. We've talked about him on this podcast, has a ton of talent. May not be your inline blocking tight end, but I think he's going to surprise people. He was the last pick in the NFL draft, and I think he's going to really surprise people. So this Arizona team is going to be a really interesting team to watch. I don't think they're going to be very good this year. I think they're a work in progress, but they're going to be a fun team to watch, even if they fall flat on their face just because of the circumstances kind of surrounding, you know, obviously taking Josh Rosen 10 overall last year, and then taking, before trading him, taking Kyler Murray first and then having to trade him. So all that drama, hiring the new coach. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But, yeah, Kyler Murray is going to be a fun quarterback to kind of see him grow within the NFL. But at this point, there is no reason to even question him being last in the NFC West. Got to prove himself. Got to see what he can do. But we'll see. Do I think he will be better than the three above him? Personally, and I want to talk with Coach about this once we're back on. We'll bring this up because I know if you listen to our draft coverage, the coach wasn't very high on Kyler Murray. I was a little higher on him, still not super high. I could see him being potentially better than like Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't see him being better than Goff or Russell Wilson. I think they're just, to me, better quarterbacks and more fit for the NFL style of game. Now, I could eat my words, and we'll see if Arizona and Cliff Kingsbury's system can really stick in the NFL. If it's not a flash pan kind of system that lights the league on fire for 6-7 weeks and then defenses catch on and start shutting it down. Everyone kind of kept saying about Patrick Mahomes last year, like, all right, eventually it's going to slow down, right? Eventually defense are going to catch up to him. Eventually, they never did. Obviously, it was only 1 year, so we'll see how year two goes with him. But that'll be kind of the wait and see scenario with Kyler Murray. But fun season. So that's the series I'm running at Sports Al Dente. There it is, the NFC West. So just to recap, it got Russell Wilson 1, Jared Goff 2, Jimmy Garoppolo 3, and Kyler Murray 4. I'll be doing the series every week. It's written copy, you know, breaking down different positions, comparing them. I think I'll probably do running backs or receivers next week, but go check it out. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. I'd love to hear your opinions, for sure. This is an open debate. I like to think I know what I'm talking about, but that doesn't mean I'm 100% right. I mean, I would love to chat with any of you guys. I'd love to have questions come in on the show. We could talk about them on here, but if anything, just, you know, comment on the site, comment beneath the article, or just hit me up on Twitter. Like I said, Ryan Dyrud Sad is where you'll find me. Ryan Dyrud Sad is where you'll find me. So, but yeah, so there you have it. So kind of a brief, I don't know, hopefully you enjoyed it, but I know it's not as fun as when the coach is with me, but wanted to at least get something out there real quick. Like I said, Thursday we're going to have a really good show doing Jersey Beer Run again. I'm going to do another bring back the player, what did we call it? It's like a battle. We did Tom Telesco versus Les Snead. So like a Rams Charger battle. We're gonna do Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon, which I think is gonna be a blast. Yeah, just comparing those two. Todd Gurley is obviously more of the kind of the face of the NFL, the more recognizable. But do the stats warrant that? We'll get into that. How does Melvin Gordon stack up, and who's the running back you'd want moving forward? So we'll do that little battle, and then we have a exclusive interview with a current player. Not going to tell you who, just going to tease it, but that'll be a lot of fun. So thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate all the support here on the Believe Network, especially with the Believe in LA Football podcast. And be sure to head over to sportsaldente.com, check out that weekly series I'll be doing, and use that promo code, The Coach and the Don, to subscribe. And you guys have yourself a great couple days, and we'll chat with you again on Thursday.
Believe in LA Football Podcast.
Touchdown Rams!
Touchdown UCLA!
Recovered by the Chargers.
The Trojans back in front.
With your hosts, the coach and the Don, part of the Believe Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network.